Our gospel reading is from Matthew's Gospel, 28th chapter. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There you will see me." In our hearing, in our speaking, our living, may God's word. I always love it when Easter falls on the later side, as it does this year, because it coincides beautifully with the spring season. I am still every year amazed at how you can take an ugly, dried-up bulb, put it in the ground in the fall, and up comes a bright yellow tulip. I'm amazed how trees that look like they died over the winter finally start to show tiny green leaves. We have been watching a pair of mourning doves at our home, who made a flimsy-looking nest in our carport, which takes a lot of guts to do, to trust that space. There they are on top of a cabinet that's also the router table. How's that for living life on the edge? We have learned, Paul and I, to walk quietly in the carport and turning the key and going in the door so that we don't disturb them. At first they startled easily, but now they're pretty much used to us. So they just kind of give us this look like, "Yeah, you again. Okay." But they amaze me. And it's amazing to me to learn to walk quieter, where you're used to walking. Try it. It can change your perspective. There are many ways to approach Easter. We can compare the different versions in the Gospels. We can put it all in the social context of the time, study it from a scholarly perspective. We can take the TV and magazine approach and every year say, new evidence, we found the grave, we found this, we found the stone pillow. There are all sorts of ways to come at this, but I'm approaching Easter this year with a greater sense of wonder. Easter is far more, of course, than a tulip bulb or nesting birds. But I think that same sense of wonder is a good way to welcome Easter. Perhaps it is best to walk softly up to that tomb, listening carefully, opening our eyes and our hearts for what might happen. Matthew wants us to get there, to that place of wonder. Matthew adds some drama to Mark's account of the resurrection. The two women approach the place where Jesus' body was buried, and there's an earthquake, and an angel in dazzling clothes and guards that pass out. The message from Matthew is that all creation is disrupted by this event, changed forever. The angel tells the women not to be afraid, just as an angel had told Jesus' mother not to be afraid all those years before. The women stoop down and gaze into the empty tomb, and then they leave to tell the others, it says, with great fear and joy, holding those together at the same time. On the way, they encounter the now living Jesus, who speaks to them and tells them to go, and he will meet them in Galilee. So the women do as they are told, and they run and find the others who are hiding in their own fear and their own guilt and drowning in sorrow. Resurrection comes to the people who are at the end of their rope. The people overwhelmed with despair and loss, who thought it was all over. But God was not finished. God had something more to say. We've all at some time or another read a resolution, or maybe written one, or read a proposed new law. Churches and denominations and businesses and government entities use the same format and some of the same language. First, you know what I'm talking about? There's a long, wordy list of whereases. Whereas this happened and that didn't happen and this other thing happened and oh yes and whereas this, and it goes on forever and ever. And then finally comes the therefore. That's where the action is. That's the heart of the matter. That's the call to action. There's where something is happening with that therefore. Easter is God's great therefore. Jesus is risen. Therefore, all things are possible again. The cross was not the end of the story. Therefore, the story of those women and men who followed and loved him was truly just beginning. Jesus is risen. Therefore, your story is just beginning. Therefore, you can change, start your life over. The tomb is empty. Therefore, the past has been emptied of its power to direct what kind of future you have. The stone was rolled away. Therefore, it is not up to us, but to God, who can and will roll away all stones of evil and hatred and replace them with good. Therefore, poison gas and refugee camps, bombed out homes and burned down churches and mosques and synagogues cannot, will not be the last word. Jesus is risen. Therefore, human fallenness and human destructiveness and broken relationships and illness and even death do not have the last word. Francine Christophe was born in 1933. She has vivid memories of wearing the yellow Star of David that all Jews like her family were required to wear. Christophe and her mother were brought as prisoners from France to Bergen-Belsen concentration camp when she was a young girl. And her mother took with her two small pieces of chocolate, telling her daughter she would save them for a day when they felt really hopeless. She thought the chocolate would help them, give them strength to carry on. But then there was another prisoner that was a friend of theirs named Helene. And Helene went into labor. Christophe's mother asked her if she would mind if she took the pieces of chocolate to give to their friend. Giving birth here will be hard, her mother told her. She may die. If I give her the chocolate, it may help her. Francine Christoph agreed, and Helene was able to give birth to a very, very tiny and undernourished child. 6 months later, they were all liberated from the camp. A few years ago, Francine Christoph gave a lecture at a conference that she helped organize in France on how survivors would have coped differently after the war if they had had the help of therapists, of counselors in their recovery. A woman came up to the podium saying she was a psychiatrist living in Marseille, France. She said she had something to give to Christoph on stage. The woman came up, placed a piece of chocolate in her hand, and said, "I am the baby." How do we live in a broken world that seems to disappoint us and leave us at times without hope? We live as though the resurrection is a done deal. Something happening right now, because it is. God is in the business of putting bodies and worlds and lives back together, of breathing life into that which seems lifeless and decaying. The great therefore of Easter compels us each day to ask what might be possible this day. Some of us in recent months have gotten in this habit of getting up and saying, "What horrors will there be today?" And then the resurrection says we've got it backwards. Ask instead, where is new life emerging? Where is resurrection showing up? How might God be using each one of us to be that sign of hope that says God wins? Love conquers all. There is no way to fully comprehend this wonder of resurrection. We can't. The question, as Walter Brueggemann reminds us, is, can you make room in your mind and in your heart for new possibilities, new healing, new wholeness, in spite of what the world dishes out? Make room, even and especially now, for the wonder of life where there had only been death. The tomb is empty. Therefore, peer into the deepest tomb of your greatest fear, your worst loss, and know that that tomb is empty too. Know that there is more to come. God is not finished. God has something more to say. Elizabeth Templeton, the late Scottish theologian, posed a question once to the Anglican House of Bishops. She said, "How would you respond if someone came to you on the street and said, 'My bus leaves in 2 minutes. Tell me about the resurrection in the time remaining'?" Templeton said her response would be, "If you really want to hear about the resurrection, be prepared to miss your bus." Then Archbishop of Canterbury, the former Archbishop Rowan Williams, had another suggestion. He said, "I think I'd have asked the man where he was going, and then said I'd accompany him on his journey." Christ is risen. All the days of our journey, all the days beyond our journey, Christ is with us. Therefore, do not be afraid. Take delight in the wonder of it all. Go and find the places where Jesus is already waiting, where the need for healing and feeding and love is great. Go and continue love's redeeming work. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed.